Good morning, everybody. We are starting the Education Committee. So I call to order the Education Committee for October 31st. Happy Halloween. Second on the agenda is the approval of minutes from the October 3rd, 2022.
Move to approve.
All right, motion to approve. I'm sorry. Could I call for the vote? I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was reading something. I apologize.
Aye.
Aye.
And aye. Next is public comments. Do we have any public comments?
Will Haney, 316 Mallard Court, Mount Pleasant. I just want to take this opportunity on the record to thank the school board and the school district and Mr. Barowi here for his part. I know staff did the numbers and did the thing about increasing the size of Carolina Park Elementary. I went to the District 2 constituent board meeting last week or week before last, whenever it was, and we knew it looked good. We were told that it looked good, and they did it. And I was pleased to be, I think it was one of the first month I was mayor in my first term at the dedication of that school. And everybody was expecting it to grow and be improved, and it's going to be. And I just want to thank the school board for that decision because it was great for the town of Mount Pleasant. And I also want to say one more time, I say this all the time, when you get something as new and big as Lucy Beckham High School, if it doesn't look pretty, it's a whole lot of ugly, but it is a whole lot of beauty in that school. I just want to thank y'all for that. Every time I ride by there, I'm just amazed at what a beautiful school we have in Mount Pleasant. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comments? All right, next is the update from Mr. Barowi, the Chief Operating Officer of CCSD. Thank you for coming today.
Yes,
good morning.
Sir, thanks. Thank you, Mayor Haney. I would say that our staff and construction management team with Cumming and Brownstone, we've got in this area of Mount Pleasant, I've been in this construction maintenance business for longer than some of the folks out here have been alive, I think. And the architects and engineer firms in the Low Country, as well as the general contractors, are just phenomenal. And it's better than I've seen anywhere in the country, so that makes our job a lot easier. So thanks for having me here today, committee members. I've got a short update. If there's anything specific to academics, we could certainly bring back those that are experts in that. I'll still touch on that very briefly. I do want to take the committee back to the beginning of COVID-19, because I think a lot of what the district has done for the students and families of Mount Pleasant and the rest of the district have gone largely unnoticed. When we shut down in the spring of 2020, our superintendent and our school board challenged us to be ready for the fall. We didn't know what that was going to be, but they set our goals to make parents, students, and teachers safe, make them comfortable in coming back to school. And once we closed in the spring, we began a number of initiatives that not many folks realize, but we set up the first daycare center for a medical organization. We partnered with Roper St. Francis, and the minute we closed, we opened up a daycare for their healthcare worker children. That allowed us to set up a template of how our schools would operate. We got those kids through a daycare program from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. all the way until July, and that was a big part of our success. All of our nurses worked for DHEC in doing contact tracing. That was the big initiative back then. And we partnered with MUSC, the Medical University of South Carolina, in developing the protocols to set up our classrooms for the fall. Our facilities team did a lot of work on setting up cleaning protocols and other safety protocols. We changed out and upgraded 50,000 filters in our schools to increase their capacity, their ability to remove allergens and other materials from the air, almost to a hospital level. And when we opened in the fall of 2020, we were the largest school district in the nation to be in school 5 days a week, all grades, from the start of the school year through the school year. And until another school district comes along to prove me wrong, I'm going to keep touting that. So that got us through the into the pandemic pretty powerfully, pretty successfully. And I think the reports in the school report cards that came out last month, I think, show that we didn't take nearly as much of a COVID loss hit as other districts. And here in Mount Pleasant, once again, the scores were extremely, extremely good. 11 of the Mount Pleasant schools were rated outstanding. three of the schools were rated good, and that matches up exactly same results as we had in 2019, the last time they did school report cards. Certainly, Ms. Corley knows how those scorecards are developed, but for elementary schools, they take a look at the SC Ready results for math, early language learning, or ELA, and also science, social studies. And in the high school, they look at end-of-course exams primarily, as well as on-time graduation rate. So really good results. Moving on to some of the facility stuff, we have finally come to an agreement with you all on the exchange of properties for the land next to Cary Hill Middle School for the baseball field next to Lucy Beckham. That's been a long time coming, but very good that we moved ahead with that. I think that'll bode well for both the Lucy Beckham baseball team, as well as the work that you guys will do out at Cary Hill with some funds from the school district. I think it's a great example of the partnership that we've had with you all, and something that we both, something that we needed that you accommodated. Moving ahead, we've got to update our mutual agreement for use of facilities. Councilman Iacofano and Steve Gerke have been really helpful in giving us the draft of that document. We'll be working very hard to redline it, come back to you all, and keep that moving. Two key points I want to make with the mutual use of facilities with Mount Pleasant is, number one, is the school district overlay is much more than Mount Pleasant. We've got other municipalities, so whatever we do here in Mount Pleasant, we have to be able to accommodate the other towns in our school district. We have to make sure that that's a possibility. And secondly, I was given the facility use program by the Board of Trustees a little over 5 years ago. It lost money for the school district, so use of our facilities essentially came out of our classrooms because of the cost. It is now a net zero program. So we established, we identified all the costs for using facilities after hours. We identified a pay structure that's been in place for the last 5 years, available on our website. We've got a incremented pay scale from organizations that are for profit all the way down through municipalities and other educational uses. That system of organization and management, again, has allowed us to ensure that our cost for custodial, for utilities, for managing events doesn't come out of the classrooms, and we have to work real hard to make sure that that continues, or we'll need to go back to the Board of Trustees for changes, because that's how I was directed to manage that. But I feel very confident, Eric, working with your staff, that we can make that happen. I want to talk a little bit about enrollment projections. It's one of the comments I hear a lot in the community that we are woefully inadequate in determining how many kids are coming to our schools. I will say that the last pre-COVID year, which was the fall of 19 into 20, and this year, all of the Mount Pleasant schools were within 5% plus or minus of our projections, and that's an industry or district, school district standard across the country. We really appreciate the help of the planning department being able to meet with us on a regular basis to talk about developments that are coming along, that are permitted, that are being thought of, that are moving out, and that's made a big difference in our ability to manage that successfully. Like I've heard around the entire county, you better build more and more schools immediately. There's more and more kids coming every day. I've been through that for 7 years, and it really hasn't shaken out except for small pockets. I took a look at Mount Pleasant schools. In 2016-17, that's 6 years ago, our overall enrollment was 13,715. This year we have 14,219. That's 504 students in 6 years across Mount Pleasant, 3.7%. Or if you divide it by 6 years evenly, it's 0.6%. I don't really want to do that because we're looking at the overall number. During that same period of time, as Mayor Haney pointed out, we opened up Carolina Park Elementary School, and we also opened up Lucy Beckham High School. I think certainly some of the numbers are a little bit lower than we expected with the success of Oceanside Collegiate. That has drawn some students away from our schools, which has actually helped and has allowed us to downsize Wando High School along the way. So again, thanks to your planning department for really helping us with development numbers. So two schools have exceeded enrollment expectations, and that's Carolina Park Elementary at Lucy Beckham High School. As the mayor mentioned, the board recently voted to expand Carolina Park Elementary School. The initial plan was to look toward rezoning to Laurel Hill, which is where those students originally went to school. The Laurel Hill capacity is 946, and the current enrollment is 723. So there were 220 empty seats at Laurel Hill. During the summer and into the fall, our Board of Trustees and Superintendent Kennedy have really made it clear that early education is one of our key movement changers. It's a way to increase the ability for kids to be reading on grade level when they get up into kindergarten and on through third grade. Extremely important. And so we do not have capacity in all of our elementary schools in Mount Pleasant. And so what we looked at was saying, let's look at establishing Laurel Hill as a hub for early education to capture additional kids down the road from the neighboring schools. So Carolina Park, Laurel Hill, Jenny Moore, that's where if we expand our program, we can take more students. Right now, there's 138 children in Mount Pleasant on the pre-K waiting list. We dropped that list down with adding two classrooms at Laurel Hill since this decision was made, and that will allow our younger kids to get into school early if the parents so desire. And so what that did was put us in a position where Carolina Park really needed to be expanded based on its current and projected enrollment. And so we will have an additional wing added onto the building with six classrooms by the fall of 2024. So one more year with Carolina Park as it exists today. Right now, their building capacity is 988. Their actual enrollment is 974. Building capacity for elementary schools is just 22 students times the number of teaching stations. Could it be more than that? Absolutely. We've had schools with more than 22 students. And in Principal Antonelli's case, he's taken the opportunity to look at other spaces in his schools that weren't necessarily designated for standalone gen ed classrooms, like a computer lab. Now that we're one-to-one with devices, computer labs are not as needed as readily as they were in the past. So his program capacity is a lot larger than that, and enough to handle the students that are there for the next 2 years. Lucy Beckham was our first new community center in the school district. We can't even think of another time that we added a school within a community going back. So I will say that our estimates there, I'm responsible for not meeting those expectations, but there were a lot of changes that we didn't anticipate, including students coming back from private school into Lucy Beckham, students attending Academic Magnet choosing to go to Lucy Beckham, students attending School of the Arts that chose to go to Lucy Beckham that were in the zone. And so our numbers at Lucy Beckham were much higher than we anticipated. As you may already be aware, we did install an 8 classroom modular unit, connected unit, so there's not individual trailers, but our classrooms, 4 classrooms on each side with a hallway down the middle, that was opened last week. That gives our capacity there at 1626. Which is right around where we are. I will say that we finished below projections out there. We expected to have 1,743 students, and we had 1,666 out there this year. So less students than expected. And I will point out that over 100 students go to the Center for Advanced Studies on the Wando campus at some period of time during the day. So at least 100 students are transiting and are not in the school building at particular times. We will monitor enrollments out there very, very closely, but I don't expect to make any recommendations to the constituent board to make zoning adjustments at this point. We want to see things level out and see what happens with the decrease in enrollment this year from the projection. It gives us pause to think that we might have come close to flattening out there at Lucy Beckham. Construction-wise, we mentioned the expansion at Carolina Park. There are two other projects that have been funded by the board that were on the referendum. One is replacing the trailers at Carriel Middle, and the other is building a new J.B. Edwards, replacing the school that's there. That would be done on their campus. They're at the tail end of the program. The board voted those in wave three, one of three. And so we're looking at the 2028 timeframe toward the end of the program for those projects to happen. We'll pay close attention to Carriel, too. That park west complex, Laurel Hill, Pinckney, and Carrio have flattened out, and in Laurel Hill and Pinckney's case have gone down over the years. I think we've seen aging out of people in Park West. We'll see if that picks back up, if homes are sold and kids are brought back in. But we might not need the addition at Cario at this point, but it's funded. We'll hang on to it for the time being. I did want to point out lastly, the taxpayers who voted for the sales tax program in 2017, they voted for it in 2014, and they voted to extend it to 2028, has been a huge success for the district. For Mount Pleasant alone, we've expended $550 million in construction of schools. That goes back to the beginning of the building program at the turn of the century. We are now feeding money into capital maintenance. So in this past building program, $35 million went toward replacing building systems. Schools like Wando and Cario now are at the point where replacing roofs, replacing HVACs is necessary, and we have money to do that. We expect in the next building program that capital maintenance will continue to increase and has already been board approved to increase for the next five years. So subject to your questions, that concludes my talk today.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. We do appreciate CCSD getting back up and going after COVID as quickly as you did. So thank you for getting our children back in school. I know we had discussed, we sat down and discussed, you've given us a new point of contact so that we can get back up and running like the oyster for the oyster on the half shell for the art, the farmer's market, Children's Day Festival, offering things in Mount Pleasant that CCSD can come and have discussions with our citizens and let them know kind of what's going on with CCSD and getting them signed up for pre-K and things of that sort, getting you involved in the student council. So those were all things that we discussed at our meeting. The thank you on the confirmation of the baseball field land swap. And I believe that that comes with a $2 million check. So we do appreciate
yes, sir.
That. Hopefully we can get some restrooms out there with that check and that budget as well. We want to go back to the agreement that really hasn't been, I mean, it's had some amendments, but it goes all the way back till 2006. And really want to have a very honest discussion at some point that, you know, that there's an equal collaboration between us. Because, you know, on our end, we're saying, hey, we maintain these fields at Cario on a biweekly basis. I believe we maintain the Moultrie fields on a weekly basis with very little use, even though the land swap on the Cario will take care of that. There's use of pools. We provide SROs at a higher expense than a check that we receive. But these are all benefits to our citizens as well. You know, at one point, there's maybe a little bit of an issue with giving $600,000 towards the theater, and we haven't had any access to the theater at Wando. So where do we come into the – where do we open up and realize that these are all our citizens? The students are citizens, the parents are citizens. How do we utilize the space to its fullest, and what can Mount Pleasant do to maintain the outside of the especially elementary and middle? We were on a phone call with Cary, North Carolina. They seem to have a really good relationship with their school system as well. And I do realize that what you do here, you are countywide, so you have to repeat that. But I mean, is it a do you want to come up with a rate sheet for us, and this is what it costs, and do we want a rate sheet and say this is what we're spending, and we see where we're at in the middle?
I think the first step is ensuring that we are in agreement on what is being used now, getting an accurate snapshot, because I know that there have been some things that are done at the lower level as well. We want to make sure those are accountable to all of us. We know what's happening. So meaning below the director and below me, there have been things happening.
Right.
And good on them making the most use of facilities, but we all need to know what those costs are that are being incurred so that, again, we can be transparent to the taxpayers. Again, my board tagged me with this program a little more than 5 years ago to be net zero. I want to be able to explain to them what the changes would be if we're going to modify that. I am supportive of modifying that because I think you and I in our chats, if a facility is sitting there, it makes the most sense for the community to be able to use it, whether it be for a school function or a town function. We want to make sure we're using those facilities. So many facilities around the country sit vacant, and there's a huge investment involved and then a maintenance investment involved. But we've got to make sure that along the way. I know one of the challenges we've had in the past is being able to modify use of our varsity facilities so that they remain varsity quality. I have not looked at Mount Pleasant's rec budget for grounds, but I will tell you I've compared it to other districts, and we probably invest four times as much in overseeding, fertilizer, grooming, to make sure that those varsity teams that are not on our official turf have a facility to play on that's the quality that they need from a safety perspective. So there are some differences in the way things are maintained too, and we have to make sure we prevent overuse of those. From a construction perspective, if we're to do more, we have to obviously stay within the sales tax boundaries that we have as a district, but that's not without reason as well. Something that we could move ahead with possibly is expanding the capabilities down the road too. So the bottom line is we're supportive of looking at it. I just want to be transparent with everybody involved on who's using what. And it may, once we identify the actual uses, I think sharing the cost of what it takes to maintain them is important. So that again, we can replicate this in other communities down the road. This is the first one we've approached this process with you all.
Right. I mean, the gym space is definitely an issue, and you guys have gyms, and I understand. We discussed, you know, your maintenance crew is supposed to be done by 7:30, so if we take them till 9:30 or 10, that money's coming away from children and their education. So where do we, you know, what does that cost? Who wants to maintain it? Do you want us to come in and take over all? And I don't know. Obviously, this is a larger discussion. And then we rent out to clubs if that's, but maybe that those dollars can be passed to you, and maybe we charge an admin fee or something like that. But there's got to be a way to maximize the amount of space that we have without having to continue to buy assets and create field space when it's already there being unused. So does anybody have anything? Yes, Ms. Claudia.
Thank you again for coming. I know you're super busy and I appreciate your time. And I wanted to say congratulations on Anita Huggins. That is a great, great decision. I'm not sure who made that choice, but
it wasn't me, but I'll pass it along.
Oh my goodness.
I agree with you.
I'm so impressed with her. I've loved her for years. And I think, you know, when it comes to facilities, the frustration is just that, you know, I can't think of one time where those facilities have been rented to a club or us as a town. You know, there seems to be it's up to the principal or it's up to the athletic director. Or it's hard to reserve that spot, and I can kind of see that because things pop up last minute at a school, but there's got to be some sort of logistic reservation system where the district could make money.
So I really appreciate you asking and making that comment, because I did skip over a point that I wanted to make. We do manage it centrally. It's not managed by the principals anymore.
Okay.
So if there's an after-school use, we have a facility use guide on the planning website.
Mm-hmm.
We have planning officers that review the need, review the desire. They give the individual that wants use of the facility a form. They have the rate structure on there. They work through that. They work through that agreement, and essentially a contract is signed. We actually have a joint to cover both parties from an insurance perspective. We have a overarching insurance policy that's very cheap as well for use of those facilities. Mount Pleasant facilities alone for calendar year or school year 21-22, 1,700 after school events. So there were 1,700 after school events in our facilities, and half of that year we didn't allow outside use because of COVID. So I suspect that this year it's probably going to be in the neighborhood of 2,400. So our facilities are being used, and it's being captured centrally. They reach out to the schools to see what the use is. We have to make sure that, to your last point, that the schools aren't overly reserving facilities when they don't need them.
Yeah.
That's always a challenge, obviously. But it was a significant number of outside uses, both for school events and non-school events across the district. And I will say that those organizations that have paid, depending on where they fall within their rate structure, it's cheaper than anything they've ever found anywhere else, because I'm not making, I don't want to make a profit. I just want to cover my costs, basically.
Is that for like the school building or athletic field?
It's for everything. It's we do not have any in Mount Pleasant. We do not have any restrictions on any facilities. So athletic facilities and indoor facilities, auditoriums, classrooms, cafeterias, media centers can be used. Now, I pointed out the condition of the varsity fields. So sometimes the baseball fields, we really have to be cautious with the use of those so that they don't get overused during that time frame that the schools are out there for their games. But all the facilities, I can't think of any restrictions in Mount Pleasant. We do have some restrictions in other places because of circumstances, but in Mount Pleasant, everything is available. Nothing's off limits.
So just personal experience with my, we talked about Oceanside, but and maybe there was just a conflict of interest, but we would turn in applications and, you know, there was never a response. So I assumed that that's what everybody else was going through, but maybe that wasn't the case.
Event
specific.
What's interesting is on my right over here, I asked about Oceanside because I wanted to know.
And I'm not there anymore.
No, I know. But I knew that you've got a history and you know some of the experience. You have the experience out there. So I know that Oceanside has used our facilities. There was a time when the D2 stadium was built that the D2 stadium specifically was not set up for outside use for a period of time until we shook out the details and got it working right. So there was a time, and that time of no may have carried over too far in the timeline. But I'm rest assured it's open and available now through the facility use.
And the gym. I think with us, it's the gyms and the pack, the theater would be super helpful that we could use. And then just one more thing I wanted to talk to you about is, so is the district's goal to be, to have school choice? Like, are transfers going to get easier, or do you see transfers stopping? Because both schools are at capacity, right?
Correct. So neither Carolina Park or Lucy Beckham accepted transfers this year, except for district family students. So if you're a district employee, they have allowed teacher kids basically to go to those schools if they applied. So what we do every year is we look at the building capacity, we look at the projected enrollment, and we determine which schools we believe will be able to accept transfers. And we note on our website schools that are highly unlikely to accept transfers. And then the ones that are real close at the end, we'll narrow it down to grade by grade. So I know personally, a couple of years ago, I was involved in Cario. Cario was at capacity, but there were a number of kids that were not accepted on a waiting list. So at that time, Gail Morris was the principal, and we looked at 6th, 7th, and 8th grade and said, okay, there are some empty 8th grade seats, so the kid will go there for 1 year and then move out of the school. So it wouldn't be a three-year impact on the enrollment projections or on the enrollment in the school. So, you know, we'll take it down to individual grades, but I will tell you that both Carolina Park and Lucy Beckham were at a zero, with the exception of student faculty kids, and there might have been a couple of exceptions related to either healthcare or certain special exceptions, but nothing significant.
Is the plan to keep the interim principal at Wando until next year?
The plan is to keep the interim principal there for the remainder of the school
year. He's doing a great job, by the way. Another one. I love Kim Wilson. I don't know if you guys have met him. He's amazing.
He was an AP at Wando, hired by Lucy Beckham back in the day.
Yeah, just great leader. And it's amazing how fast you can see that a leader's influence in a school, you know, as soon as they get there. But congratulations on him, too. And I think that is all I have for now. Yep, that's it for now. Thank you again.
I think you guys covered everything well.
My question is, with Lucy Beckham, the original capacity was what, 1,500?
The original capacity was 1,468.
Oh, well, and we're at 1,666 now. So are you waiting to see what happens over the next couple of years, and then would it redistrict or add on, or I guess you would have to see?
We would have to see what the number ends up being.
Because Wando is under its capacity.
Wando's under the capacity at this point. So I mentioned building capacity. Principals like Anna Dasig and Michael Antonelli look at how to best accommodate the number of students they have. And the second number is called program capacity, so how they program their school. Schools that are very undercrowded and they have extra title points to buy extra teachers, their class size is maybe 10 kids, so their program capacity could be less than building capacity. Folks like Antonelli and Dasig had to fit more students and make sure they were all accommodated. So they looked at other rooms. So as an example, at Beckham, the media center is two floors. The second floor, they converted that into a classroom. That wasn't designed as a classroom, but they were able to accommodate that. So schools can program more kids in a lot of cases than the capacity. So although it looks like it's over capacity, and by building capacity it is, they've been able to accommodate the number of students. In fact, they started the year without the modular unit, without the trailer, and were able to make it work. Now, that was a short-term fix now that we've got the trailer there. But we really want to see, right now, our projections for Beckham don't show it continuing to go up. They actually show it dipping. And in fact, again, this year's projections were higher than actual. So that gives us confidence that we're moving in the right direction. But we want to let it level out. As I mentioned, this is the first time we've zoned a new, brand new school into a community. And again, we missed on our expectations with who would want to go there at Beckham, obviously because of the quality of the facility and the quality of the education. Folks have decided it's worth going there. And so we want to make sure that we just see if that's leveled out before we decide on the long term, whether it's construction or rezoning.
And the last thing I have, I really do think our greatest opportunity for field space and collaboration on that is the middle and elementary schools. And I really hope that we can just kind of lay it out there on what's upsetting Mount Pleasant. Yep. About not getting access and what upsets CCSD. It's really important that we lay it out first, and no hard feelings, in order to be able to actually correct it, so we can come up with a really win-win agreement. And yes, obviously we don't want to take away from the children's education, the dollars that go to the education to make that happen. But, you know, the building's sitting there, we want to be able to use it, but we also want to be very helpful in doing so. So we don't want to just take. We want to give as well.
Yes, sir.
So we do appreciate you coming out. I don't know. Does anybody have anything else? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Barowie. Great presentation. And the next is to adjourn. So we are adjourned. Thank you.